and welcome back to A Link to the Cast, the best video games podcast, which is coming in your ears right now. And this is episode 9, and there are 5 words and 1 digit which sum up the video games world since we last spoke. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. I got that right, didn't I, Rick?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's on the front pages, and it's the fastest selling game of all time. It's making the headlines absolutely everywhere. It's controversial, and it's getting a review right here in the next 20 minutes or so. This is A Link to the Cast. Also, one of the most important men in video games is here as well. It's Laszlo from Grand Theft Auto. He's back, and he's making a return to A Link to the Cast as well. And we've also got a review of Grand Theft Auto 4 episode, The Ballad of Gay Tony, and we'll hear from the team behind Dead Space Extraction on Wii, and how the Wii's coming of age in time for Christmas. Let's reunite ourselves with the team. I'm Mick, I take a look at all things Nintendo. Here's Ricardo.
Staff Sergeant Rick reporting in, sir.
Rick's been playing Call of Duty.
Hell yeah, hooyah, let's do this.
Not surprisingly, and Brian Shelf, he's our PlayStation 3 man.
Word homes. No, I'm not the PlayStation 3 man.
Whoa.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. We'll carry on.
Yeah,
we'll let you have your fluff. Xbox 360 and Wii and DS.
King of consoles.
Indeed.
And Brian Shell's here. He's our Xbox 360 man. Hi, Brian.
Hello, how are you, sir?
Yeah, very, very, very good, thank you. Let's just talk about the reviews we're going to be doing. I'll be doing Dead Space Extraction, which is the new not-on-rails shooter. I'll make that clear.
Quite looking forward to that.
For Wii. Dead Space Extraction for Wii. Brian Shelf, you've got a small title, I think, one we may have heard of.
The Ballad of Gay Tony. Grand Theft Auto 4 latest chapter.
Can't wait to hear that. But it's the big story of the week, the month, the year in terms of video games. It's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Ricardo's going to be doing the review for that.
Hooyah! And it's a big one, baby. Let's do this.
Does it make you talk like that playing that game?
Yeah, I'm afraid it does. You've got to get into it.
Do we continue with that throughout?
Hooyah!
Okay, we'll do that then. So, 3 reviews this week. All massive reviews. Also, 2 great interviews as well. Laszlo from Grand Theft Auto. And also the team from EA who are behind Dead Space Extraction. You might be a little bit surprised, actually, by the title. And if you've got a Wii and you tend to play sort of Mario-related games on there, you might get a little bit excited about Dead Space Extraction. It's a little bit different, as long as you're over the age of 18, that is. Okay, it's around about this time of the show I sort of maybe throw something out there to help us learn a little bit more about the members of the team. I'm going to ask a question once. It's a simple one today. It's very simple. Girls allowed or the Saturdays?
Girls allowed. Girls allowed. Girls allowed.
Ricardo says girls allowed. Brian Shelf?
Neither.
No, that's not an option.
It's not that not the option. Can I pick a mix? Can I get a bit Woolworths on them?
I think you can.
If you know the names of the Saturdays, though, that's a pretty sad thing, surely.
That's a very good question. I wonder if the Saturdays know all the members of the Saturdays.
Well, one of them's Monday.
Yeah.
Tuesday. Yeah. No.
Don't they go by colours? I don't know. Don't they match
racist?
Their shoes?
A little bit racist
shoes.
There, Rick.
What are you doing?
if I had to pick one of the two, if I was on a desert island and I had just their back catalogue, I presume we're talking about music, Mick.
Then
girls allowed, probably, because there's more of it. So, you know, it would... Although, having said that, it's all quite tedious. I don't know, girls allowed. Go on, girls allowed.
Love Machine, come on.
Excellent stuff. You're listening to A Link to the Cast. Okay, it's this part in the show where we have a little bit of fun. I can only describe it as a little bit of fun. It's the headline competition. What we do is I come up with a scenario or story that's happened in the world of video games. It's made up. I'll be honest, it's made up. But you have to imagine if it happened in real life. Rick's face, he's absolutely
gutted
we're going to do this.
Oh,
if it happened in real life, what would the headlines be? How would people talk about it in the tabloid newspapers? The situation or scenario for this episode, episode 9 of A Link to the Cast, is this. Get your pens ready. Finely processed meat which hails from the Gulf. So it's finely processed meat which hails from the Gulf.
Yeah.
Okay, we got that? So yeah, it's going to be, it's like a headline, you have to imagine. It's related to a video game with a bit of a pun thrown in there.
Oh, I've got it.
Hilarious.
Yeah, I'm in there already. Yeah.
Hold on to that one. We'll come back to it at the end. If you're listening to this at home on the way to work or however you listen to A Link to the Cast, sit on that one in about half an hour's time. We'll reveal all. Rick's absolutely stumped. He's terrible at this.
I am. I hate it. Come on, let's do this. Let's get on with it.
Hey, this is Laszlo from Rockstar Games and Grand Theft Auto 4. You are listening to A Link to the Cast.
Well, that is Laszlo, and he's going to be with us very, very shortly. First of all, we've got to talk about, well, it's the biggest story in video gaming, certainly of the year, and it's the launch of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, breaking UK records, maybe not surprisingly, on its first day of release, actually surpassing the previous record holder, Grand Theft Auto 4. Ricardo, I knew you were sort of hanging on for this. A couple of interesting things about the release. First of all is the coverage we've seen in the news from a political point of view. What I also thought was quite interesting is from a delivery point of view as well. A lot of people who pre-ordered on Plays and Amazons got it before the release date,
yeah,
which is incredible. I wonder whether or not Play thought, you know what, if we deliver late because of the postal issues at the moment and people don't receive them, there's going to be hell to pay. So what they've done is they've booted it out and it's arrived in some cases a couple of days before release date. So people have been playing it before they thought they were going to be playing it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. You know, these games companies or these sales companies like your likes of Play and Amazon, they don't want to get all their customers coming back because they also know that people that have pre-ordered the games have actually paid kind of over the odds. When it comes to release date, your likes of Asda and Sainsbury's and Tesco's, they've been doing ridiculous deals. You can pick up Modern Warfare 2 on launch day for £26. Yeah. I mean, that's an absolute steal for a brand new AAA title. So yeah, they don't want to get all their customers coming back and saying, well, I paid £40 for this and I've not got it yet. What's going on? So yeah, absolutely. What with the postal strikes and everything, get it out early. It kind of makes sense. You know, it's good for them, really, the guys that pre-ordered it.
I think Modern Warfare sold something like 13 million copies in total. They reckon 10 million will go, certainly before Christmas.
Yeah,
apparently already made something to the... well, £47 million already, 1.2 million units shifted.
That is
serious gamage,
isn't it? Yeah, I mean, every time I've been online, it's told me there's over 100,000 people online on the PlayStation servers at any given moment. So, I mean, you know, they can't be playing it 24 hours a day, surely. So
you've just reminded me of the third element to the Call of Duty.
We'll get back to that later.
Which is a service issue. I know we've had a few letters through the mailbag on that one, so we'll touch on that as well. Brian Shelf, you surprised by the Modern Warfare 2 success?
Well, no, because I mean, everybody was talking about it, but amazingly, I've managed to get this far in my gaming life without actually really having any knowledge about it at all. So I've never played the first one. I got kind of excited when a copy arrived upstairs, but that was snaffled very quickly by someone on the web team, which is not very fair. But yeah, no. So I am sort of surprised because what is it that makes this first person shooter so much better than all other first-person shooters?
Well, we can come to that in the review if you want to know.
Oh, I like what you've done there. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's talk about... In fact, let's hold off the servers issue until we get to the mailbag at the end of the podcast. Okay. So we'll touch on that later. Yeah. Let's talk about... let's talk about Keith Vaz. Now, I had a bit of a rant on our Twitter feed about Keith Vaz. Keith Vaz stood up in the Houses of Parliament, the House
How
of Commons...
How dare he? Stand up.
...and said...
He talked as well.
Here is this game. This game is being... He basically did a Reverend Lovejoy's wife on Mrs. Lovejoy on the Simpsons, where she goes, "Won't someone please think of the children?" He gave it one of them in the House of Parliament. Said, "This game is coming out. It features all these scenes. How are we going to stop our children getting hold of it?" Now, Tom Watson is one of the digital ministers. He quite rightly stood up, and I support him for this, and said, "You know what? It's an 18 certificate game. How will we stop children getting hold of it? The same way we'll stop them getting hold of videos." Going to see 18 at this moment. There's got to be a parental responsibility here. And there's a danger, I think, really, particularly with this game, of the media blowing it out of all proportion. The Daily Mail's had an absolute field day this week in terms of the rants they've been able to go on, mainly based around probably the airport scene.
The airport.
So we'll touch on that as well. But in fact, Brian, are you surprised by it?
Well, do you know, to be honest, I'm not surprised by it because this happens every single time a game comes out. They're demonised, they're vilified as being the, you know, the corruptors of youth. But this, to be honest, this argument is dead. It's dead in the water. It's been had again and again and again. And not only is it, you know, is the argument intellectually dead now to be had, the fact that games like this and Grand Theft Auto fly off the shelves show that society as a whole has decided, no, it's perfectly acceptable to have these games. Perfectly fine. Everyone realizes that it's just a bit of escapism. It, you know, I'm all for it being certificated 18 and down to the parents making the decision themselves, you know, whether or not they should let their kids play these games. You know, I'm all for that sort of level of responsibility and the level of control of selling them. But the argument that in some ways these are a mass corruptor of youth or even adults, I just find it boring and dead and quite offensive to say that, you know, it's kind of taking away any responsibility I have from playing these games. Is going to turn, somehow I'm going to become a zombie, zombified killer.
The very problem of the game itself shouldn't really be discussed, like you were saying. It's an adult piece, it's meant for adults, and surely any right-thinking adult is not going to go into an airport and do whatever it is.
Keith Vaz as well is talking about this as if video games, and I've said this so many times,
labelling video games
as if video games is this corruptor. Brian, you mentioned it, corruptor of youth. The average age of a video games player in the UK is now 28 years old. This is an adult industry. It's a piece of adult entertainment. There are things on there which aren't to people's taste. The same as if you go and watch Crank 2 at the cinema. That's an 18 certificate. There are scenes in there which are fairly horrific. But actually, if you choose to go and do that and watch that, then that's entirely up to you.
Well, the age-old argument about censorship as well is that if these films are so corrupting, what happens to the censors who have to watch them? And same with games, the censors that have to sit through all these things, surely they're being corrupted. But hang on a sec, no, they're not. No, and we actually rely on them to make decisions in the future. So people can sit through these things and not be corrupted and altered. And, you know, it's perfectly acceptable and, you know, it's perfectly legitimate to give it an 18 certificate. You know, I'm 100% behind that. And, you know, it's not there for kids to play. It's for mature adult gamers like me who unfortunately have minds of our own and can make rational decisions and don't just react to something that happens in front of us.
Well, so. I tell you what, should we touch on the airport scene? Because I think that's the one which has grabbed the headlines. At the start of the game, and we must bear in mind, you can actually choose to skip this level, which actually is one of the most responsible things I've ever heard any sort of video games producer actually do. Rick, I tell you what, do you want to set it up for us? Why are you going into this airport?
All right, well, you're an American Special Forces guy. You've been told you've got to infiltrate this terrorist unit. And when you're actually setting out to play the level, you don't know what's coming. The screen is black. You can hear all the guys loading their equipment, zipping on their bulletproof vests and stuff. And then the doors open on screen. And that's when you get to see what's in front of you. Hordes and hordes of innocents in an airport, just walking around with their luggage and doing things. And then the terrorists, who you're with and you're trying to be a part of so you can get a heads up on whatever plans they've got, they just open fire. They just unleash absolute hell. I mean, there's five of them with massive chain guns, 1,000 rounds each or so, and they're just walking through. And it is a really grim, grim level. It's really horribly done because you can't run, you can't avoid it, you can't do anything other than just literally walk through. And if you want to take part, you could take part, but you can't stop them. It's just,
so you don't have to shoot.
No.
And it's part of the story of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it sets up the whole plot for the rest of the game. You know, the idea, I don't want to spoil the twist at the end of the stage because there is, but you're in there and you're with the terrorists, and what they do is integral to the plot of that piece.
So is that any different to a shocking set piece at the start of a horror film or an action film?
No, I think the only difference, and this is what people always prey on, is the fact that you can interact with this. You can shoot down hundreds of innocents yourself because you've got a massive gun and just hordes of innocents with you. And in all honesty, it gets to a point when they call in the SWAT teams and things. Again, you don't have to carry on shooting, but you're going to be there a long time while your team kind of mops up. So in the interest of getting through the level, I think 9 out of 10, if not more, people will open fire during that level. I mean, it is grim and it does make you cringe and it does make you feel genuinely pretty horrible, but it's in there, like you say, as a storytelling device.
Would you rather it was in there?
Well, I played it with it in, and what they've done with the story it's unavoidable. You know the way they've written the story around the game, or the game around the story, it needs that kind of an event to spark what happens for the rest of the game. So for me, I think it's a valid piece. It's certainly worth looking at once, and whether or not you go back and play that stage again, like you say, you don't have to, is entirely up to you.
It's strange. You can see the argument that, yeah, that this is first person and you are getting involved in doing it. But like I say as well, the whole point of this, the argument against games and why it's so fundamentally flawed, is it removes any level of choice we have of humans from it. Grand Theft Auto, which is a slightly more tongue-in-cheek, a bit more cartoony as a game, graphics aren't as realistic.
Same controversial.
Same controversy. I quite enjoy, in that game, running a pedestrian over and seeing how long I can keep them on the bonnet of the car, right? Now,
I can guarantee you won't feel quite the same in this stage of Modern Warfare.
Yeah, but I've never done that in real life. And, you know, this is the thing, it's escapist. And you know, if it is emotionally visceral and it's something that's shocking, that just shows that, you know, the game been well constructed. Yeah. Films that do that as well make you feel, you know, anyone who's seen Up recently will maintain that in the first 10 minutes there's two really, really, really touching moments that actually renders an audience of kids quiet and adults crying, and they're just pixels on a screen. What's the difference? You know, we can under, you know, I don't fundamentally understand the difference. We all have this intellectual barrier that separates us from reality and truth, and we sometimes like to indulge that.
I've got one last thing to say about it, though. I think
apart from the review you've got to do in 10 minutes.
Well, no, about this level specifically. I think maybe it fails on one count. In if it's thrown in there as some sort of ethical dilemma, do you participate? Do you gun down these, you know, civilians and these SWAT team and the policemen who are just trying to stop you and these other terrorists killing hundreds of innocents? If it's in there as an ethical piece to make you weigh up that dilemma, then it fails tragically, because you know you don't have to shoot the innocents, but there comes a point, like I say, when you've got to start opening fire on the SWAT teams, otherwise you're not going to get through. So if they kind of design this stage and this story as to try and challenge you, then I don't think it was any worth to that angle of it. But like I say, for the rest of the story, it all hinges on what happens in that airport.
Okay, and did we touch on now the number of MPs who are totally anti this game but supported the real-life war in Iraq where real people... Did we mention that, or do we stay clear of that?
I don't know.
Is there an irony there? Do we stay clear? Should we ignore those facts as well?
Well, I think they're totally separate. You've got to look at it. This is entertainment. It's not, you know, in the end, people aren't dying as a result of it. So, you know.
But you know, if anything was to ever happen anywhere near similar, then this would this argument would be thrown straight back at us.
Okay, just a couple more things to touch on. On Facebook, people often put their relationship status on there. Ricardo, are we allowed to say that yours recently changed?
If you so wish, yeah.
Go on, what happened?
I'm engaged.
Hey!
I'm very happy about it too. Yeah.
Well, now, quite interestingly, though, there's just a little bit. This is normally, you know, if you listen to the end of the podcast, there's usually a little outtake in the end, and this probably would have been one of the outtakes. Anyway, I'll just play it rather quickly.
He's off to Milan. He's going to Milan with his girlfriend.
Nice.
He might propose. I've heard he will propose. Have you seen the ring? It's amazing. He spent thousands on it. It's massive.
See, there was me and Mick starting it, teasing Ricardo before we knew he was going to pop the question.
Sorry about that.
We genuinely didn't know.
And then I got a panicky text that night from Mick while I was editing. That's a couple of podcasts ago, while I was editing it, saying, Brian, whatever you do, I'll cut that bit out. Brian, whatever you do, do not include that, because apparently he is going to pop the question.
Yeah.
So I knew before your girlfriend did.
Indeed you did, indeed. I think you knew before pretty much all of her colleagues and anyone else in the Northwest.
And her parents, I hope you asked.
Oh, I asked her parents. Excellent. I did the right thing.
And there's one more final piece of news I'm going to touch on this. Nintendo, we've had the original DS, we've had the DS Lite, the DSi, now the DSi XL, which is like a bigger version of the DS, and it's for older people and people who are visually impaired.
It's got a wider screen
and everything. It's just a big version of a DSi.
Yeah, I hear it's like the heaviest handheld that is going to be released.
And it's more expensive as well. Not too sure about that. We'll see how the figures go on that when that comes out.
I can understand why they're doing it, you know, because, you know, that's the one thing that my mum, who's shown interest in brain training and that sort of thing before, just does find the other one too fiddly and too small and, you know, doesn't deal with it with their very focal.
It's a big part of their market
these days,
isn't it? Yeah, the older market, so why not?
I'll tell you what, look at the sort of flavour of the way people are gaming at the moment. We've gone from talking about, you know, killing people in an airport to Brian's mum playing on the old DS.
Well, you know, she's a huge fan of Carmageddon back in the day.
Hello, it's me, Mario. Woohoo! And you're listening to A Link to the Cast, Mario's favourite. Woohoo!
Is that, what's that, what's that smell?
Oh, Rick! Oh, my.
As if you're doing that to me.
That's disgusting! I've got to get out of here.
Get out of here!
Oh, no, I've got to leave.
Whoa, Brian, we've got to interview Laszlo.
I'll ring you from outside.
Take your mobile with you.
Got it.
Okay, you're listening to A Link to the Cast on your MP3 player on download and possibly on an iPod as well, I'm not sure, depending on what technology you like. Welcome back to the podcast. Laszlo, the man behind a lot of the newer episodes of Grand Theft Auto. Welcome back to the podcast.
I'm back. I think I talked to you guys in February.
February, that was episode one.
Yes, that was Grand Theft Auto The Lost and Damned, and now we've got The Lost and Damned and Bout of Gay Tony, so two full Grand Theft Auto games on one disc for Xbox.
Yeah, I'm just going to give you this is the press release. I don't know who wrote this, but I'll just...
It's probably crap.
I'll just read it to you. Rockstar Games, a publishing label of Take-Two Interactive Software, Inc., brackets NASDAQ TTWO, is proud to announce the full release of both the second episode of Grand Theft Auto, The Ballad of Gay Tony, exclusively for download on Xbox Live, Online Entertainment Network, and Grand Theft Auto episodes from Liberty City, which will include both Episode 1, The Lost and Damned, and Episode 2, The Ballad of Gay Tony, together on a single disc exclusively for Xbox 360 registered video game and entertainment system from Microsoft. What does that really mean, Laszlo?
That means that a marketing dork somewhere was looking at spreadsheets and PowerPoint presentations and thought, wow, I'm going to write the most boring sentence ever. What it means in layman's terms is that, so we came out with the game Grand Theft Auto 4 last year, and we've written two sequels to Grand Theft Auto 4. We call them the episodes. So one's The Lost and Damned, and the other's The Ballad of Gay Tony. And you can download either of those episodes to your Xbox on October 29th. Or you can go to your local game store and pick up a disc. And you don't need Grand Theft Auto 4 to play the disc. It's two completely self-contained games, two complete Grand Theft Auto games on one disc. So that's it in layman's terms.
Excellent. So that clears that up. It's brand new. We know about Gay Tony already, though. How does he work into his own episode?
Well, see, that's what's nice about the trilogy, as we call it, is Grand Theft Auto 4 and both episodes sort of, you know, weave in and out of each other. And the Ballad of Gay Tony, you play as Luis Lopez, and your partner, your business partner, is Tony Prince. And he's so, you know, involved in abusing substances and other various things that his nightclub empire is on the cusp of falling to pieces. So as the player in the game, as Luis, your job is to keep the nightclub empire together and keep a bunch of deals from going bad. And it's quite fun because where The Lost and Damned is a sort of a very dark, gritty tale, the Ballad of Gay Tony is very much over the top and you know, set in the clubs, and there's a lot of funny bits and new weapons, as well as some great features. When you go into the nightclubs, you can dance with the women, and if you dance well with them, they might take you into the bathroom. And then, like all women do, they won't leave you alone later on, and they'll send text messages to you. Well, you know, they get progressively nasty because you're not calling them back. And one of my favorite bits is, you know, Luis is dealing with his mom a lot in this storyline. And so you'll be in the midst of making out with a girl or in a firefight, and your mom is calling. It's like, do I answer this? Is now really a good time when I'm here with this chick? chick. And it's those kind of funny things that, that we love to put in games just to make it, you know, just to make you have to make these decisions. It makes it feel like a fully lived-in world.
Mm. I'll tell you what I really loved about the trailer and the look of this game is because in The Lost and the Damned, because it was bikers, it was a bit dirty. Everything had a sort of grimy feel in the game. It had been given a makeover to make everything a little bit more dirty, and the icons on screen were a little bit buffed and scratched. Whereas just looking for the trailer on this, it seems to have a completely different feel. It's all bright, and there's nice, lots of bright sort of psychedelic colours in it. I mean, is that one of the advantages with these chapters, that you can kind of tweak the whole game engine to give the whole thing a new feel?
Yeah, the guys at Rockstar North, who, you know, are the real magic behind Grand Theft Auto, they do all the code and all the graphics. It's fun watching the game progress because, you know, we work on these games for years, and so they're constantly tweaking with the graphics engine. And throughout the course of The Lost and Damned, before that came out, there were sort of varying levels of darkness, and you know, at one point it was just creepily dark, and they sort of dialed that back to find the right place. And then, as you said, on the Battle to Gay Tony, since it's around this kind of nightclub scene and storyline, you know, everything's like those intense, wacky lasers that you see in clubs and neon and bright and shiny, and you know, there's quite a lot of money, and celebrities are constantly coming into the club, and you know, there's paparazzi around. So it's very sort of more of the fabulous side. Mm. And that's what's fun about, you know, working on these titles and the trilogy is wrapping it all up. You know, if you pick up the disc and you play Lost and Damned and then Ballad of Gay Tony, there's a pretty spectacular ending at the Ballad of Gay Tony that pulls it all together.
Laszlo, you'll be impressed with this. Brian, tell him how many hours you've got out of the trilogy so far, only having played two of the episodes.
Yeah, so far, having played the two episodes, I think my count, I'm on about 127 hours, something like that.
Wow.
It's insane, but the great thing about the game is, and it's always been sort of one of the motifs of Grand Theft Auto, is this sandbox concept, is that you can spend a whole evening playing the game and not actually doing any of the chapters whatsoever at all. You know, you'll spend half your time just flying around in a helicopter, flying under some bridges, seeing if you can jump out of the helicopter to land on not the Statue of Liberty. Well, it is the Statue of Liberty City. But I believe, yeah, is there another flying option within this game? Is there some sort of parachute, I believe?
Yes, parachuting's a big part of the Ballad of Gay Tony. And there's one mission where you have to assassinate a guy and grab a parachute and jump off one of the tallest buildings in town. And then there's the multiplayer. So there's a multiplayer level. We're actually working on a video today that we're going to release on the website, rockstargames.com, that shows the parachuting multiplayer. And you have to get to 9 different buildings and parachute off of each of, you know, base jump off of each of those in record time. And then we're going to be posting people's times on the Rockstar Social Club online, you know, for competition's sake and having awards and so forth. But the funny thing is we were testing the multiplayer in the office, and so there's all these people jumping off, and you look up in the sky, there's all these parachutes coming down, and the sky's Liberty City, and one guy just went over and grabbed a rocket launcher and started hurling rockets at them. And you hear these people screaming around the office, these expletives. It's like this one guy screaming, it's like Vietnam up here.
I mean, I, that's one of the things. I mean, you know, it's been one of these, I mean, it's such a massively successful game, you know, that's reinvigorated so many different parts of the industry. But one of the things that, of course, always sort of dogs it is, there's always controversy bit around the violence, bit around the sex in the game. And I mean, these are 18 rated, so they are for adults only. Is this a sort of a bit of a cheeky wink with the title of this one, The Ballad of Gay Tony? Has that been sort of done a bit knowingly that, you know, it might cause a bit of controversy?
Well, I mean, everything we do seems to cause a little bit of controversy. And, you know, the games do better and better each one we release. When we came up with the title, I remember the day that Dan Houser, who's one of the two founders of Rockstar Games, said to me, I go, I think I'm going to name, I got the name for the next episode. I said, what? He's like, it goes, The Ballad of Gay Tony. And I went, wow, man, that's impressive. And you know, we've gotten a lot of kudos, actually. We didn't really know how the press was going to respond to it, but we've got a lot of kudos. You know, I mean, you play as Luis, who's the partner to Tony, who's sort of this, you know, man's man who's got all these hot starlets about him. But we've gotten a lot of kudos from the press saying, you know, it's first off, to have the word gay, you know, in the title of a game is a first. And secondly, you know, Tony's a character in the game that's not this, you know, sort of the way the media portrays people in sitcoms and stuff as these really sort of flamboyant, ridiculous caricatures. You know, he's a real character. He's not, you know, over the top. He's got sort of these issues of substance abuse and other things going on. You know, he's quite a funny character, as many characters in the game are. So I think we've gotten a really good response from it.
Laszlo, we were talking on the last episode of the podcast about the original game, the top-down version. I found an old copy on a PlayStation Platinum disc that I found when I was cleaning out a room at my house. And we were talking about the follow-up game, which came with a London edition. You mentioned there that this trilogy, obviously, is a trilogy. This is the final part, comes to an end. Would you ever consider revisiting the UK as a destination? Possibly, maybe, you know, a Liverpool-style Grand Theft Auto game?
America's got some serious issues, but wow, you guys can drink over here. I mean, it's London and Liverpool, and I went to Manchester for the first time, which
Hooray!
Was that was interesting. I like the rubbish you have floating in the canals. It really gives it sort of a grit. And all my life, I'd wanted to come and see Manchester. You know, you grow up listening to the Smiths and all these bands, like, wow, this place must be fantastic. And you come over, and it's got such an amazing vibe to it. This place is turning me to an alcoholic, and I've only been here for 3 days.
So maybe Grand Theft Auto Smith's edition, the Ballad of Morrissey, maybe Mersey City, anything like that. That float your boat at all?
We'll name it Grand Theft Auto Panic on the Streets of London.
How much new sort of radio content is there in the Ballad of Gay Tony?
There's a lot. Like I mentioned, I do a talk show in the game, and then there's several other, you know, spoof talk shows that we do, and you know, Iggy Pop's got some new stuff that he did on the classic rock station. Juliette Lewis did some new stuff.
Broker, that's my favorite channel.
That's a really good one. Henry Jeter Santos is on sort of a bachata reggaeton station. David Rodigan, the legendary reggae DJ, he's in the game. He flew to New York and did some stuff with us. And my favorite station in Grand Theft Auto episodes from Liberty City, Vice City FM with the DJ Fernando. I don't know if you remember from Fernando from previous game.
Of course.
I don't even know if I should be telling you this. The PR department's probably going to punch me in the face. we planned this stuff amazing, Laszlo, and you just blurt it all out with these dudes. But he plays like proper 80s yacht rock, you know, wrap your Corvette around a tree with your trophy wife kind of vibe.
Oh, superb.
Yeah, I love the yacht rock station. So Vice City FM is good. And the Crookers did some original tracks for us. Since the Ballad of Gay Tony is very much about the clubs, each club has got, you know, a distinctive sort of music vibe to it. Karl Lagerfeld did a whole bunch of new music for the disco station. And I actually had to fly to Saint-Tropez to record him for all his DJ banter, which was I'd never been to Saint-Tropez before, but wow, there's a lot of money there. A lot of money.
It's amazing, isn't it? You're so heavily involved in this this artificial virtual world that you seem to be traveling around the actual real world in order to fuel it.
Yeah, you know, it's really cool the kind of people that we come across now. Somebody was asking me yesterday about, you know, the celebrities in the games. And, you know, you look back on San Andreas, we had a few celebrities in that game. And we sort of found that gameplay is so much more important to gamers than like, oh, you know, this famous movie star is in it. So now we basically work with the people that come to us and you know, or mention to somebody we know that they really love what we do. You know, those are the kind of people we want to collaborate with. So, you know, Iggy Pop, Karl Lagerfeld, you know, those kind of guys. it just makes it a much more fun and cool working experience, because they want to be part of this virtual world and they get it. Whereas, you know, a lot of people in the entertainment industry in Hollywood just have this sort of negative view of video games. And, you know, I turn my cable off. I can't even watch TV anymore. If I can't control the people on the screen and make them bop each other on the head or whatever, I don't want any part of it.
Laszlo, we're up against it timing-wise now.
No, let's go forever.
No, honestly, we are. Speaking of celebrities, you have 20 seconds to tell us about Timbaland's involvement in Beatorator coming to PSP and PSN.
Yes, so Beatorator is out, and it's on for PSP and the PSP Go, and we worked with Timbaland. It's basically this amazing music-making software for the PSP, and Timbaland worked with us and gave us all these original beats and all this original music, and all the people in the music industry and producers that we've given a Beatorator to and let them play around with it. They're making amazing tracks. You can go to the Rockstar Games website and listen to some of the tracks people are making, and it's so easy to do. So I would highly recommend, if you dig music, to pick up Beatorator, because you'll be making your own tracks with a lot of Timbaland's original production.
That's cool. That was 43 seconds, but we will let you off. Laszlo, it's always a pleasure. We look forward to playing Grand Theft Auto, The Ballad of Gay Tony.
I'm sorry I went too long. It's Brian's fault.
Yeah,
127 hours, man.
Yeah, it's a fanboy here. That's.
If you ever saw a woman naked, you'd throw rocks at her.
Okay, what about that? He's back on the cast. Thanks for that. Laszlo, Brian Shelf making his way back into the studio as well. Are you feeling a lot better now?
I've brought an air freshener. Have you cleaned yourself up a bit, Rick?
Rick, you happy? You happy to continue? Rick, you've got to stay there, because Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, A Link to the Cast official review is coming very soon. Okay, so it's episode 3 of Grand Theft Auto 4. Let's do the review. Brian Shelf.
Right. Well, in simple terms, as I like to do my reviews, The Ballad of Gay Tony is absolutely excellent. Really, really good. You know, I loved Grand Theft Auto 4. I know some people say, you know, perhaps it wasn't quite as good as some of the older ones and it was a bit glitchier. But, you know, it was my first introduction to the series. So I was delighted when Lost and Damned came out, and I enjoyed Lost and Damned. I enjoyed it quite a bit and got a fair amount of time out of it. But something about it just didn't quite sit right. Probably because it was on bikes. It also seemed to, it was quite serious as well. It seemed to lack some of the sort of fun of some of the original game. Ballad of Gay Tony, as soon as you saw the trailer, you knew full on this was going to be bright, it was going to be in your face, it was going to be, you know, the name just shows that they were just trying to push it a little bit, have a bit of fun with the series again. And, you know, it's absolutely spot on. It's great. I haven't quite finished it yet, but it's just, there's just so many cool little good things in it. There's a little mini golf game that's built in. You have a chase, hopefully, and it's not too much of a spoiler this, but you have a chase through the city at one point on a golf cart. There's helicopter gunships in it, which, of course, there were helicopters in the previous ones, but you couldn't fire any weapons. There's a superb little set piece where you're using this helicopter gunship. And, of course, base jumping as well. So you've got these parachutes and loads of base jumping mini tasks. Just overall, it's Grand Theft Auto. It's what you expect. It's not rewriting anything from any of the original game. You know, it's the same sort of thing. It's drive here, shoot some people, drive away again. That's what you expect, but it's just absolutely spot on. The story's really good. It intertwines with
the crossover.
That's quite a compliment from you as well, the hater of stories in video games. You know, that you actually enjoyed this one.
Yeah, no. It starts off with the big, it starts off in the middle of one of the big set pieces from the first game, which I think it was called Three Leaf Clover or Four Leaf Clover, which was the big bank job that you do in the first one. And you're kind of just a secondary character in this thing going on. It's amazing. You know, Nico crops on up in it now and again. You know, the all the things. I've been reliably informed that the final chapter as well sort of brings all three storylines together in one fell swoop. So you know, really looking forward to that. But you know, whereas Lost and the Damned I kind of picked up and played a little bit and never really got too excited about, at the moment I'm just going home, firing up the console and losing 3 hours of my life again to Grand Theft Auto. So just hats off, it's superb. And you know, there's loads of little bits of extra stuff on the radio, you know, so good work from Laszlo and everyone there. You know, just spot on, can't fault. I'll tell you what as well, actually, is a strange thing about it is I think it's psychological, but the fact that I got this on a disc, because you can get a disc that's got Lost in the Damned and Ballad of Gay Tony on it. You don't need the original game. You can just stick that in and play. Lost in the Damned, I'd done as just purely download. For some reason, psychologically, it just feels like a new game, whereas the download content didn't. I don't know if that's just me, but it does actually...
Is it the branding that Rockstar are always really good with their manuals for it? And, you know, you get your maps for the city. Have they bundled all that in there again?
Yeah, yeah. That's possibly something to do with it.
I think it's more of an experience, isn't it? When you get the manual, they've always done them up and they're like a magazine or a tour guide.
We have to make it clear at this stage, you can download the Ballad of Gay Tony as downloadable content, or you can buy
the disc,
which contains the Lost and Damned and Ballad of Gay Tony. Mm. And if you have that disc, you don't need the original disc, which you do need if you're going to download the Lost and Damned. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's just strange. Just that simple thing actually makes it feel like a much more complete game than Lost and Damned did, which is unusual. I don't know why that is, but, you know, that's just how I feel.
Well, you can email via the website, and I'll be keen to get people's thoughts on that. I actually do like to have something in my hand. It's like when you download something via iTunes, you quite like the CD in your hand. There's something about, something comforting about it.
Wow, I've actually got this. It's right here.
We always ask, in terms of A Link to the Cast reviews, of what would make you stop playing the game? It's our way of rating each title. Brian Shelf, well, you said you're losing 3 hours at a time, but what's making you stop?
Nothing at the moment. That's the only one I'm playing. Not even Guitar Hero has come out for a while now. So what would make me stop playing? I don't know. I've just heard that new Super Mario for the Wii has arrived upstairs, and I'm bringing that home for you,
I'm passing
Mick.
It straight on to me.
I'm passing it straight on to you. I've got to work late tonight though, to edit this podcast, so I probably won't be able to come round before your bedtime with it.
It'll only be about half past eight, 9 o'clock, something like
You've
that.
You've got I'll a postbox, haven't you, Mick?
Oh, yeah, it's a new invention. Yeah. It's a hole in your door which you can post things through.
Well,
you should try it.
A little bit of politics doesn't get much use at the moment, does it?
Oh, satires. See what you've done there. Don't worry, folks. The Communication Workers Union and Royal Mail sat down and have come to an agreement. There won't be any further strikes until Christmas.
Yay! Mm.
I stole that joke off Harry Hill's TV burp from the other Saturday. I don't even realise that. Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about another game now, this time on Wii. Okay, you're listening to A Link to the Cast. We're talking about games which maybe aren't adult games, but certainly have adult themes. We were joined earlier by Laszlo from Grand Theft Auto. I'm very pleased to announce we've got John Goddard on the line. He's working with Games Label and EA, and he's going to talk to us about Dead Space Extraction, which is a new not on the rail shooter for Wii. We must make that clear. John, first of all, can you just maybe explain why Dead Space Extraction is not on rails?
Hi, Mick. I mean, it does differ from previous on-rails games that people might be used to. So from their arcade days, if they played Time Crisis, games like that, even on Wii, Resident Evil and Silent Hill, which do offer a very kind of linear experience where you start off at point A, the camera guides you exactly to where you need to be, you pull out the gun at the relevant time and you do what you need to do, and then the camera moves on. So there's no kind of movement controls within what you're doing. With Extraction, there are, you know, lots of choices you can make within the gameplay that aren't, you know, that are of your own doing, turn left, turn right being an obvious one, but also within combat scenarios you can take different paths within a certain scenario. So it does feel a lot less like a, you know, sit back for the ride and just shoot when you need to. There are lots of things you need to do within that environment that are of your, more of your own making.
People will know Dead Space, the game, from previous versions, the 360 version, PS3 and PC as well. I understand this is a prequel to the events taking place in those games.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, anyone who played Dead Space last year and since, obviously I was familiar with the story of Isaac Clarke, the engineer who gets sent to this enormous ship in the middle of space called the USG Ishimura, and communications have been lost, and he finds this ship floating in space, and he discovers that a horrible mutation has found its way on board the ship and turned the crew into these kind of ravenous mutations, and he has to fight his way through the ship. This is kind of the backstory, and it explains how the mutation got to the ship. And it begins on the colony surface of Aegis VII, and it follows the paths of a few different characters who are kind of coping with the outbreak of the mutation on the planet's surface. And then they go up to, and you do too, up to the Ishimura. And then in between Extraction and Dead Space, it's also the comic series as well.
Okay, and I know Brian Chelf has been a massive fan of Dead Space, and I mean it is one of the creepiest games that's been out there. Certainly, one of the creepiest games I played last year. There's not many of titles like this available on the Wii. We've mainly only see one or two just recently that have appeared. I'm thinking maybe Resident Evil 4, which obviously was a GameCube remake. There aren't many titles like this for Wii. Is there a market there on the Wii for adult games like this?
Well, I think you've got to remember that Nintendo's roots are, you know, much more game focused. You know, the Wii has brought them to a much wider market than they have in previous years. You know, Nintendo's a fanboy's platform, so you know, there's a lot of people out there who you know, do want real game experiences on the Nintendo Wii. Maybe have got a Wii through a gift at Christmas or whatever, and maybe with bundled with something like Wii Fit or Wii Sports. But you know, those are all very good and very exciting for a wider market. But there's people out there that, you know, have Wiis that want proper games, and we have seen a range of more adult games come out on the Wii this year, such as Mad World as well, and Dead Space Extraction is another one of those more mature titles. I think Nintendo recognised that, as well as catering for a mass market, they have to cater for gamers as well. You know, they make their own first party games, things like Mario that are very much for fanboys, which are much more gamer games. So I think there's definitely a need for that kind of experience on the Wii, and I think there's games such as Extraction that prove that you can make a very good gamer's game for that platform.
I mean, it's interesting now, the Wii, if this sort of investment in adult games on Wii continues, actually what we'll find is the Wii will get a new lease of life for the next 2, 3, 4 years. Do you think that the developers and developers like EA prepared to back the Wii consistently? It doesn't have that sort of hardcore gamers market, perhaps, that maybe the Xbox 360 and the PS3 are seen to have, you know, those HD titles where it's very sort of complex in terms of the visuals of the video game.
I think, you know, the Wii is the market leader at the moment. A lot of people have them. It's a platform that we should all be supporting. It's a very, very interesting platform. Some people have adapted to it better than others. You know, the whole motion sensing control method is kind of relatively new. And yet we're seeing the Sony and Microsoft going in that direction as well, with things like the Project Natal and the PlayStation 3 motion controller as well. I think there's definitely a need for it. People definitely seem to want it. And, you know, it's up to publishers such as EA, who have, you know, a large studio network, large publishing organisation, to be out there making games for as wide a variety of people as possible and catering to as many tastes. And it's clear that there are people out there that, as well as wanting mainstream games, much kind of broader games that we also do, with things like My Sims and games like that, that people do want hardcore games as well. And there's plenty of people out there who are over the age of 18 that have access to a Wii. Maybe, you know, young fathers who've invested in them for their kids so they can play party games, but who also, you know, grew up as gamers as well.
And want to send the kids to bed and say, right.
Exactly. After they've, you know, had a few hours playing Wii Sports or whatever, the kids go to bed and then they can turn the lights down and play Extraction.
Great stuff. We're talking to John Goddard, who works for Games Label and is a spokesperson for EA. What are your sort of big titles and what are EA looking at and Games Label looking at for 2010? I know Left 4 Dead 2 is something which is in the offing fairly soon.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead 2 is out November 20th in the UK. That's something that we work with at the studio partners at Valve. So we publish and distribute that title over here in the UK. We work closely with them, and Left 4 Dead 2, extremely exciting, kind of genre-defining multiplayer shooter, really. There's nothing quite like that for water cooler gaming moments, you know, kind of four people cooperating as closely as they can to defeat hordes of zombies. It creates a lot of fun. And that's something we're really proud to be working with, certainly this side of Christmas.
And I know Rick's massively excited about playing that. John, many thanks for your time, and thanks for joining us here on A Link to the Cast. Okay, Dead Space Extraction. Well, it sounds pretty good. Certainly sounds interesting, but is it any good? I tell you what, this is a title, well, it's a prequel, this. So we'll start off by explaining Dead Space. For people who haven't played it on or maybe the PlayStation 3, Dead Space, how does it work?
In the original Dead Space, you were part of a recovery team sent to the mining ship Ishimura in the farthest outreaches of space. And they found this relic, and all kinds of crazy things have started happening. People have been becoming deformed, and they've been growing these massive claws. So what you've got to do is you've got to fight through this ship and try and find out why and what's caused all this chaos, which has basically killed everyone, and find out whether or not your partner's alive. The gameplay works by running along in a third-person style, and the big hinge for this was the dismemberment system. You would have to take off the limbs of your enemies in order to kill them. You couldn't just shoot them in the body over and over again. So it was a big action game. I was a big fan of it.
Dead Space Extraction, when it was announced on Wii, a lot of people were saying, well, is it going to be the same sort of thing? When it was announced, when it first came out, people were saying it's going to be on rails, which I'll come to in a sec. But this is actually the same story. It's the prequel, though. So the first scene is when you actually find the relic, the item, the marker. That's the first thing that happens in this game. You're then on the planet, and strange things begin to happen. So what this game is it's how Dead Space came about. So it's got sort of similar characters in there. It's got the similar aliens and creatures on there who are sort of humans, or are they, or aren't they, sort of thing. So it's all a prequel. You don't really, though, need to play Dead Space for it to make sense, because it is a prequel. So actually what you could do is you could then move on to Dead Space, and that would actually make more sense from a game-playing point of view. So that's where it's at in terms of the game. You're on the Ishimura. That's a large part of it as well. As you travel up there, they're going, whoa, we think we've got this outbreak. You're like, well, we've got to get on, because the planet's infested as well. So then you're on the ship as well, and that's where things start going wrong, and you start to see the development of this virus or whatever it is. It's a guy. Guided first-person shooter. Now, I want to sort of clarify, an on-rails shooter, let's talk about Ghost Squad on the Wii, or the arcade title. You are looking from a certain view, you are on a rail, you move to a certain position, you can then pop up, shoot, and then you move on. If that's an on-rail shooter, then Dead Space Extraction is not necessarily an on-rail shooter. If it is, it's a very clever one. They're calling it a guided first-person experience. What you actually see on this is it's almost like a movie acting out, and you're seeing the whole thing from the first person. So you're looking around corners, you do a double take, you see all that happening. When you talk to people, you almost have the peep show element where you're looking at them, they're talking to you. When you're climbing up ladders, when you put it on helmets, that all happens in front of you. So it's not really a sense of move to this area, shoot the baddies, they disappear, and then move off. You can be within one area, a couple of like alien characters appear, you might shoot it, move around, move back, have a conversation with the other characters, might have to do a little bit of there's a number of sort of puzzle elements in there as well. It all sort of fits in very nicely, and obviously the big thing about Dead Space was it was scary. It was very scary. This, because it's a first person experience, it's in control of where you can be, so you can't go and hide in a corner. You have to go where the game wants to take you. So you can be heading over a rickety bridge, you can be going through a tunnel, and you can see aliens flying by on either side. You know, you just catch a glimpse. But because you're not in control, you want to go, I want to look over there. You can't actually do it because you're guided. So people will criticize this, and they'll say, oh, it's not a proper first-person shooter. I would say, actually, in terms of the experience of the game, this is top quality, really, really good. I was massively impressed by the way that it worked.
I thought the original Dead Space was really good with that kind of atmosphere building as well. It had a lot of bits where power outages on the Ishimura would happen. There'd be like flickering lights and stuff, and every now and then you'd just catch a shadow. So you wouldn't even see the thing that's like hunting you. But you'd know that it was there, or it was stalking you.
Well, there's an example of this. There's one when you're going through some air shafts and you hear something behind you. Now, if you've got the surround, you automatically want to turn around, but then your character will look. He'll then look back where he came from, and then he might slip and fall, so he's quickly plummeting down a pipe or something like that. He gets to the bottom, looks back to find out what it was that made him slip. nothing there, turns around, whoa, in your face, things like that, which are genuinely scary moments. It's an 18-certificate game. There's the dismemberment system is still in place there. You know, you've got the guys with the big limbs. You've got to sort of take them out. I quite like that, actually. You've got to be quite sort of specific that in terms of the difficulty levels. You've got your normal, your hard, your expert, and your impossible as well. I've not unlocked the impossible, though. That surely has got to be massively impossible. And there's so many different elements to the gameplay. There's elements where you've got to jump through large sort of portions of space and sort of deflect debris as you're arriving. There's a bit where you're actually in the spaceship and you've got to clear asteroids and things like that on the way towards you. There's loads of different elements to it. I was massively impressed. So that gets the thumbs up. Gameplay gets the thumbs up. Story works for me. Graphically, this is the best thing on the Wii.
Wow.
It has to be the best thing on the Wii from a realism point of view. Brian Shelf, I know you came around the other day, you were impressed.
Yeah, it does look really, really good. And at that point as well, I didn't know it was a guided thing. I thought you were controlling it. And I thought, wow, they've really got some properly good fluid movement on this first-person camera here. And then discovered, of course, that it's not on rails, it's guided. But I tell you what, the question I've got is the thing with Ghost Squad and other games like that, Time Crisis, there's all sorts of things along there. They're often very short-lived and it's replay value. It's going back and doing it again and opening up new routes. Because it's going to be so heavily choreographed, my concern is how long is it? How much gameplay do you get from beginning to end?
I'm drawing towards the end of the title and I'm about 6.5 in, I think. I think I'm drawing to the end.
That's not bad at all, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I won't explain how, but I came about to finding out how it ends as well, which is a little bit annoying. But for that reason, I'm not sure how much of a replay value there will be. I think the difficulty levels are something which will make you want to go back. And throughout the titles, throughout the levels, there are maybe one per level where you can go left or right. You get an option. I don't know, though, how much that will take you in an entirely different way or whether or not it'll just take you to maybe an ammo dump, which it maybe appears to do. So would I go back and play it? Yes, if I wanted a challenge. It's a tough game. Ammo's not massively easy to come by. What you have your sort of your kinesis arm, which means you can draw things towards you. But because you're not in control of where you're looking, it's a case of grab it when you can. So actually, ammo's at a bit of a premium. So if you want to play on an expert or hard, you're going to take more damage. And presumably there's going to be less ammo out there as well. And the ammo that you have will be less effective. So I think from a difficulty point of view, if you are, and this is an 18 title, if you are somebody who's really into sort of these sorts of titles, I think you will go back and play it maybe another time at another difficulty setting. Will you play it again after that? Maybe not. But actually, I think I already feel like there's money's worth there. I think this is a title where you think, you know, this is a great game and it's worth the money.
Is there a lot of weapons in there? Because the first Dead Space had a really good selection of weapons and some of the way that you could use them, like even the most basic, the mining laser
the
or whatever
cutter,
it is.
Yeah,
or the bolt cutter. You could flip it through 90 degrees so you get a better chance of dismembering.
Well, you can do that. Imagine the Wiimote is perfect.
So you just do it literally with your own hand.
So you shoot, and then you just turn it so
that's
you want to bolt
brilliant.
Something. The other thing, talking about Grand Theft Auto following over from other stories, if you look at Dead Space, there's a level when you're on the Ishimura, you go through a double set of doors, and then there's a barricade set up, and you can't get any further. You've got to find a different route. Dead Space Extraction, you create the barricade.
Brilliant.
So there are a couple
there
of moments like that.
A little bit of tie-in.
Yeah, exactly. So nice. I was massively impressed. Ammo's great. That's my next point I've written down, actually. Ammo is not massively easy to come by. You tend not to run out, but you can run out on a couple of weapons and be forced to change the way you deal with a particular situation. Okay. The boss is also exciting as well. They're almost sort of Zelda-style bosses. Yeah. I always, you know, the big one, they appear, they have a certain weak spot, you have to spot that. And of course, in that first-person sort of railed experiences, the way you move around, you have to really pick your moments in terms of how you can sort of take action against the boss or whoever it might be. So what will make me stop playing?
Don't know.
At the moment, not a lot. I'm playing it a lot. The only thing that's taken my eye off it is the arrival of the next game that I'll be reviewing, possibly, and that's A Boy and His Blob, which arrived. And it was one of them, and I won't spoil the review on this, but when I got hold of it, when I played it through, I thought, actually, there's something in this. And actually, there's been a couple of times when I've gone to put on Dead Space Extraction, I've just thought, you know what, just another 20 minutes on a blowing his ball. That's the only thing which is taking me off. But if you are an adult gamer over the age of 18, have a Nintendo Wii, have been very disappointed to a large extent with a lot of titles out there, I would say maybe World at War you would probably already own. If you like that, this is a better experience, I would say, than that, although I thought that was quite a strong title. If you were disappointed by things like Mad World and thought Nintendo or the Wii couldn't do adult titles...
Or the House of the Dead.
Yeah, if you thought that was okay, you're going to think this is a lot better, I think. I think this is a really strong title, and I think it's good that the Dead Space brand is on Wii and playing so well on Wii, and particularly looking so good as well. It actually looks like a proper next-gen title, as opposed to some of the games you see on Wii, which are essentially GameCube, hashes and things like that. So I say well done to the guys there who've created just a great title, great experience, and not a lot will make you stop playing it.
Good stuff.
Okay, which leaves just one more review, and it's the big one. It's Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, the biggest selling game of all time in its first week, in its first day, in fact. One man who got hold of his very sharpish was Ricardo, and he's about to deliver, pray silence, his review for Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Booyah indeed, here we are. It's Modern Warfare 2, and if anyone's played the original Modern Warfare, they already know what they want. They want a visceral, intense shooting experience. Maybe people are interested in single player, but more often than not, people just switch this game on to go online. But we're going to save that. We're going to go straight in for the plot. And of course, Soap McTavish is back. And once again, he's got another terrorist in his sights. And just like the original Modern Warfare story mode, it's a multi-role thing. So you're not only playing as Roach, Soap's underling, but you get to take part as some of the other parts of the United Force against terrorism. So one role, and this is the big one that everyone's been talking about, is as an American infiltrating a terrorist organization and trying to become like the best buddy of this evil mad Makarov as he causes hell in an airport, as we've already been talking about. I think it's this kind of appeal which is and structure to the game which has made Call of Duty Modern Warfare so popular. The single player, it has always been really brilliantly polished, and again it's absolutely looking spick span and gorgeous. And the story is brilliantly orchestrated, if a little uncomfortable at times. But it's the fact that you get to see the story from different angles and see how the plot develops and moves forward that I always think makes this such a unique piece of first-person action. Because more often than not, you just play one gung-ho hero who guns down all the bad guys and that's it. Well, you get to play some pretty tragic moments in Modern Warfare, the first one. You get to see a whole legion of Americans get wiped out by a nuke in the first one. That is a really grim, grim aspect to the first single-player game, and it takes that emotional destruction and uncomfortableness, and it brings it again into Modern Warfare 2. Now, the standout moments, every level I've played has got an absolutely brilliant standout moment. Whether or not it's calling in Predator missiles from satellites and actually guiding them in onto your targets as they literally just blow the hell out of everything, or if it's like doing these sniper missions. You're walking through a snowstorm in northern Russia and you've got a sniper with you and you've got a machine gun, a silenced machine gun with a heartbeat sensor. You can't see very far at all, maybe about 50 yards or so, but the heartbeat sensor tells you where people are. So you're kind of just stalking them, just gradually creeping up on them, trying to find them and take them out silently and move on, get to your objective. It is absolutely brilliantly put together. And of course, the airport scene, as we've already talked about, it's controversial for a reason. It is heart-rending and really, really tough to play. I was watching a few of my friends actually play it, and just the expressions on their faces, it's an experience you just don't get anywhere else. So I suppose you've got to
what was it? Was it horror? Was it wincing? Was it?
It was very much wincing and sort of uncomfortable. Like you're taking part in that massacre, and I don't think any game kind of gives you that kind of horror experience of that angle. You know, you can have terror or horror from what's happening in front of you in innocence being ripped apart, but you're actually one of these bad guys. You're actually taking part in it. And that in itself is pretty scary. Anyway, enough for the airport scene. I think it's had enough press already. The single player mode, like I say, it's everything you expect and more. It's intense. It's brilliantly crafted. The levels Infinity Ward have got an absolute knack for level design, whether it's online or single player. They just managed to make an experience so intense and yet so focused at the same time. You can pursue your way through like a shanty town, and there's enemies everywhere, and yet somehow you fight your way through it and you get through with your buddies, and you come out the other side harder and better for it. It's a brilliant, brilliant single player. But like I said before, it's all about online these days. And, you know, this is the biggest online game by far. If you love Modern Warfare, then this is just so huge. They've got more of everything. There's more attachments for your weapons. So whereas before you had like an ACOG scope you could strap to your M14 assault rifle, or a red dot sight, or a silencer if you wanted to play sneaky, you've got all those, and you've got like thermal imaging if you want to attach that. You've got these heartbeat sensors. You've got full metal jacket rounds if you want, so you can do better bullet penetration. You can shoot your enemies through walls and everything. You know, they've just absolutely loaded so much more in there. There's more skill perks. The first Modern Warfare, when you're playing online, the more you play, the more kind of experience you get in your online character, and you get rewarded with these little perks. So you might get a faster running ability if you activate that one, but you can only ever have three, and that's how they keep the balance online. So they've got more of these perks, and now you can level them up as well. They've got more kill streaks. Oh my god. The first Modern Warfare went down in history probably because of the kill streaks. You manage to get three consecutive kills online, you get a UAV, which is a little radar, shows you where all the enemies are. You manage to get five, you can call in an airstrike anywhere on the map that you desire. So if you've still got your UAV active, you know where the enemies are, you can put the airstrike right where they are. You get seven in a row, you can call in a chopper. Well, this time they've absolutely blown that to hell. You get to customize your own kill streak. So again, you can start off with three kills for a UAV. You could get five kills and call in a turret, a little posable turret that you can move and drop anywhere you want. So you can change the landscape of the battle as you go. And of course, the big one in the kill streaks, if you want to switch on, because you can only have three of them switched on, if you manage to get 25 consecutive kills without dying, you can call in a mini nuke and activate and evacuate your entire squad and just blitz. It's game over for everyone, and that's it. I mean, that there's no other game with that kind of scope for changing the face of the game online. There's more weaponry, more challenges, more leveling. There's just more of everything, and it's the same
bigger
game.
And better.
Oh my god.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to touch on a couple of things that have come through on the mailbag. Do you want to give your verdict in terms of what would make you stop playing this game?
Well, I think the mailbag is very much it. Unfortunately, the PS3, it's been the network that will stop me from playing it. It's been the server issues, but I'm sure you've already got that.
I've got Dan here. Blah, blah, blah. Hang on, blah, blah, blah. I keep having problems actually getting online and into multiplayer on PS3. Is it a server or software issue? Presumably it's server.
Well, it's absolutely server. It was a bit of unfortunate timing in the fact that they released the patch for Modern Warfare 2, the trophy patch. Just like a lot of games these days, they release the game and then they patch it before you've even got the disc. Mm. It was a bit of unfortunate timing, like I say, that the patch arrived in the UK at the same time that America sort of woke up and started to play Modern Warfare, at which point all the servers kind of froze and died. As far as I know, it's a PS3 only thing as well. So I think
that was Dan. Al says, guys, can't help but think there is a lot of fuss over nothing. MW2, the most controversial level, I think, is most controversial level is skippable, and it's an 18 certificate game. Al, thanks for that. I think we touched on that a little bit earlier on. Sam says, MW2, was it worth the hype? Yes, game of the decade.
Absolutely. If you enjoyed Modern Warfare or any online shooter, and it's got to be said that if you're going to play an FPS, you've got to play it online, really, because the experience is so different to any other game that you can get. You know, people enjoyed Quake back in the day, but it really isn't the same anymore. You've got to play it online, and this is without question, without a shadow of a doubt, the best online FPS there is.
Okay, you've heard three reviews on A Link to the Cast this episode. We've had Grand Theft Auto, Episode 3 of Volume 4, The Ballad of Gay Tony, Dead Space Extraction, and also Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. Have we ever had three more positive reviews for games all in one cast?
I don't think so.
Yeah, good work.
Yeah, there we go.
It's a silly season for great games right now.
You'd have thought
right
Christmas
now,
was coming round.
Well, I've still got some in the bag to review, so yeah, I've still got...
Absolutely.
What have I got? Ghostbusters for the Wii.
I want to get Scratchtastic with DJ Hero as well.
And I'm going to be playing two games, A Boy and His Blob, which I'll definitely squeeze in terms of a review before Christmas. It's very good, though. And also New Super Mario Brothers, which will be in the next cast. I've actually got a week off work next week. Depending on when you're listening to this, I don't know how that will fall. But it basically gives me a week to absolutely hammer it. So I can't wait to do that. Just one more thing from the mailbag outside of all the correspondence from Modern Warfare 2. Adam Dave Taylor says, mate, I just listened to the last cast, episode 8, and that, of course, was the one which contained the interview with Charles Martinet. He says, it's the greatest thing I ever heard. Must have been totally out of this world to actually speak to him. Was awesome just listening to it. That was Charles Martinet. If you've not heard, a link to the cast, episode 8A, check it out. It's Get absolutely back. Fantastic. Download Charles Martinet. I've listened to it 4 or 5 times just to sort of hear the magic sort of being created. Absolutely fantastic stuff.
Hey, Nick. Hey, Rick. Hey, Brian. Thank you so much for talking to me. And hello to all of my friends at the Link to the Cast. Wahoo!
Okay, well, we're on the run-up to Christmas now, so these podcasts are going to be coming thick and fast because there's so many games out there. We've already mentioned that the sort of titles we're looking at. I know Beta 8 is something you're going to be looking at as well. Lego Rock Band is something I'm waiting on a copy of. There's plenty of stuff coming, isn't there?
There's absolutely loads. I mean, it's almost a shame that we can't do this more often. There's so much right now. The Ratchet and Clanks, the Uncharted, the Tekken. I thought you were going to do Tekken, Brian.
Oh, yeah. Well, I stuck it in and I played it for about 10 minutes.
And then he got Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah. Well, it's not, but you know, fighting games aren't for me. I'll lob it at you and you can... Well, you haven't got Xbox, have you? But you can find...
I've got another buddy who has. Yeah, we'll beat it up, come on.
Yeah. And you know, you have to sit through at the beginning the history of the previous 5 Tekken games. So it's like story, blah.
I said all along that Rick was the right man to be reviewing Tekken. I knew you weren't going to be the right man to do it.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up the headline competition. And we had a scenario, a situation, which if it happened in real life, what would the tabloids run with in terms of how they would maybe report it? We're looking for, you know, a headline, a bit of a pun. The headline competition went along these lines, a story from the world of video game. The headline comp this time went like this: finally processed meat which hails from the Gulf. Finally processed meat which hails from the Gulf. Ricardo, your expression means you don't have a clue.
No idea in the slightest.
Did you get it if you were playing at home? Brian Shelf, did you get finally processed meat which hails from the Gulf?
I got it almost immediately. It's pork chops of Arabia. No, it's not, is it? It's it's clearly mince of Persia.
Yeah!
There you go. Very good.
Mince of Persia.
Terrible.
You've got to love the work there.
No.
By the way,
when it started off this, I remember the first one was the hero of Metal Gear Solid crashes through a field of cows, and so that was an actual event. So, and then you had snake, rattle, snake, cattle, and roll, right?
Yeah.
So
that was an actual event.
And it made a headline. And since then, you've completely lost track of what this actually means, and now it's just mince sounds a bit like prince, right? Mince of Persia, that'll do. That's never going to be a headline, is it? Mince of Persia. So, you know, do more work, Mick.
I need to do more research into this competition.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, yeah. I promise. That'll be my New Year's resolution. So we'll have a few more really corny ones and then we'll really ramp it up in 2010.
That means you've already written about 7 really corny ones, doesn't it? Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on A Link to the Cast. We promised that we would set up a new Facebook page, facebook.com/A Link to the Cast. Go on there and add us. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/A Link to the Cast. If you get a chance as well and you download us via iTunes, a lot of people have put on some reviews now. We've got 4 or 5 really strong reviews. So thank you very much if you've been on there and you've reviewed us. We'd love to get your thoughts. Any feedback you've got, you can put that on iTunes or you can email us via alinktothecast.co.uk. So check us out via any of those methods. As I say, we're going to be back pretty sharpish because we've got so much to get in before Christmas. So thanks for listening this time. If you've got a Wii, check out Dead Space Extraction if you're over the age of 18. If you're also over the age of 18, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 on either platform. Fantastic. And Grand Theft Auto, Ballad of Gay Tony. You can get it in disc format, you get it with The Lost and the Damned, or you can download it. Again, if you're over 18, so apologies if you're not over 18. Maybe maybe you should go out and go and get the DSi XL, which actually is for over 80s rather than over 18s. So thanks for joining us. This has been A Link to the Cast. Thanks to Laszlo as well and the team behind Dead Space Extraction for joining us. We'll be back next time.
Oh,
official review is coming very soon.
You dropped the bomb. We all know it. Let's get this going. Come on.
Okay.
The thing is, everybody knows that was recorded weeks ago because we've mentioned it about four times, as if anyone's going to fall for us pretending that you've trumped.
Okay, it's time to...
I'm such a stinker.